I know, wow, I can feel the buzz. There's a lot of all of you in here, and it's nice to have you here. And we're going to start maybe just a minute earlier, too, because we got a really full service, really important service. And I just wanted to say a couple of things as we begin. One is, many of you know that I sent out a SOS email last night about 9 o'clock, right when I went to bed. No, I did go to bed early on Saturday, but... any rate, that the Gainesville Community Ministries ran out of food, and that's a very important ministry downtown, and they had to close up, so I asked if you could bring in food this morning, and the narthex or foyer or that entryway out there is getting filled up, so thank you, and if you still are able to bring some in this week, you can either bring it here to the church or over in the education building, and obviously you could take it on down to Gainesville Community Ministries as well, but thanks for that great response, and it'll be really helpful. I think the youth are going to gather food soon as well. One thing that Julie may elaborate on, you'll see in the bulletin that tonight the pumpkins were going to arrive, and everybody's going to be here to unload them, but as almost always happens, something came up, and they're not going to be here until tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. Free pizza for anybody comes and helps. Okay. So tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. Every fifth Sunday, you all generously support the Florida Methodist Children's Home. It's a powerful ministry. A very exciting and very challenging thing for us is that for the conference, for Florida, is they're going to start a new, an additional Florida Children's Home up in Madison County, just north of Madison on a beautiful ranch. A lot of us were there for groundbreaking. And that's our mission box today. And we've got a brief video that tells you about that. Before we show that video, would you share with me the liturgy we often use? Welcome home. Why are we here? And we believe that worshiping God will translate into some amazing acts of love and kindness. And that's what this video is about.
I think if you care about children and about families, that sometimes we have to step outside our comfort zone and reach out to help those families, and that's what we do.
After more than 100 years of serving abused, neglected, and troubled children from across the state, the Florida United Methodist Children's Home is being called to serve more children in more places and in more ways. The Madison Youth Ranch will be located in North Florida and will replicate nearly all the services currently provided on our Central Florida campus, giving us the chance to provide hundreds of additional children with a place to call home.
And this is just an opportunity to help those less fortunate and children that need care, special care.
Whether it's your prayers, your time, or your donations, join our team today. For more information, visit www.allchildrenfirst.org. Together, with God's guidance, we can continue to create a future of hope for generations to come.
Thank you.
Thank you. we sing God of the City. And you know, there's a lot going on in the world today, but the great hope that we have is that our God is sovereign and that He is in control. So sing these words with me.
You are God of the city. You're the King of the people. You're the Lord of the nations. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things have still to be done.
Song talks about just lifting your heart and voice up to God and saying, you know, you are my all in all. You are my everything, my strength when I am weak. So sing this with us.
Thank you.
join with me in affirming our faith together with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Seated. And now we have the joy of the sacrament of baptism. Elizabeth, are you going to lead this? Oh, is the mic over here? Yeah. And the Edmonds family, if you would come up while Elizabeth introduces. Thanks.
We'd like to welcome Rob and Naomi Edmonds with their son Owen. And yes, everyone, please join them. We have a Sunday school class and friends.
Oh, good. Yeah, takes all of us in this privilege and covenant of raising up a child. Oh, great. Nice to have all of you all here. I wonder, Naomi and Rob and Owen, could you guys just step up here so everybody out there could see you? And, you know, this is such a memory thing for me. I remember years and years and years ago when Robbie was little. This is about me, not about you, so it won't be embarrassing, I promise. But I was doing a children's sermon, and I'm not a fisherman. I've tried to like fishing. I just don't like fishing. And I was doing a thing with a children's pole. You remember this, don't you, Bob? And Robbie, in a very nice way, at a right time, leaned over to me and said, so everybody could hear, "You're holding it upside down." And then I've seen you grow up to become a man, and you met this wonderful woman, Naomi, who came into your life, and Naomi does these wonderful things with children and occupational therapy, and it's just kind of neat. And Robbie's helping us with the men's retreat planning, which is going to be January 26th. I hope you'll set that Saturday morning aside, January 26th, and some other neat things that we've been involved in together. So this is a joy. And now here's little Owen. How old is Owen?
4 months.
4 months. Wow. And it's nice to have family and lots and lots of friends here. So good to have you here. Am I supposed to ask anything else? I'm going to ask the question. Hand that mic to Donna, would you? Donna, would you pray over the water? Would you mind? Is the mic on?
Oh, sweet Father, we thank you for the goodness that you've given us, family and faith. And we just ask you to bless this water. Let it be for us as a family and members of faith, a sacrament.
Mm.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Donna. Do you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you? Do you promise, as God gives you grace and strength and help to raise this young child in the life of faith so that he can come to know Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, will you? And the name is Owen?
Yes, we present Owen Callender Edmonds for baptism.
Owen Callender Edmonds. We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God bless you always. Can I take him? Oh, boy. This, dear friends and members of Owen's church family, is Owen Callender Edmonds. Would you welcome him into our faith? Awesome. Oh, and they love you already, man. And they're going to say these words to you that come up on the screen. Owen, we welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always. Owen, you want to look around and look at all these symbols of the church, all these Bibles that you'll be reading one day, the scriptures and the cross. And what that means to us in this beautiful space. You are deeply loved. And you're a part of something that will go on forever. And oh, did I take your shoe off? Oh, okay. I think we're going to sing our song, Jesus Loves Me. And if you guys want to walk around a little bit, thanks.
Jesus loves you.
Congratulations. Now we come to what is also one of the most important things any church can do, and that's to present Bibles to their third graders. So we would invite all the families, the parents and families to come forward and stand behind your third grader at the altar rail. And as you all do that and would take time to find your way here. And if anybody's not sure where you're going, just kind of look up here, Elizabeth, and she'll help you. And congregation, our Director of Youth Ministries, Julie Mishu, who received these folks in 3 years, is going to read their names. And as she reads their names, their picture will come up on the screen, and we would just invite you to be praying for them. As their names are read, we're privileged and grateful that our lay leader, Tony Cotarucci, will be assisting in giving the Bible. Our director of worship, Alice Wallace, Elizabeth, and myself will be presenting the Bibles to these children.
Ellie Agerton. Torin Anise Anderson. Matthew Ballard.
Is it Emery? Oh, good.
James Fino.
Emery Smith. I present this.
Lou Dagan. Tyson Doring. Charlie Dupay. Brock Eaton. Amber Frey. Davy Augustine. Aiden Fuller. John Harp. Lauren Holzauer. Robert Horn. Ellie Jones. Miles Camp. Nicholas Knight. Lucas Kinsel. Riley Maraway. Hannah Mack. Shane Penley. Paul Peterson. Skylar Phillips. Miranda Fellman. Dante Ricapa. Kayla Richardson, Caitlin Victoria Rowe, Jessica Russ, Malachi Sarp, Emery Schmidt, Andrew Tischer, Nicholas Joseph Upshaw, Elizaveta Walker, Benjamin McLaren Watson, Lauren Whitaker, Will Whitstruck, Madison Young. Congratulations.
Let me pray with you all. Good and loving God, we thank you for this powerful, powerful experience. For every family that's represented here. For all the love in each home. We pray that your Spirit may watch over each child and each family. That this Bible will indeed be a lamp unto their path. That you guide them each step of their way to a future that is better than dreams. For they will be following you. Bless them, we pray, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Third graders, we have a response from you. If you will pull out that little green sheet in your Bibles, we'll read that together. All right. Read it with me, please. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And congregation, we do have a response from you.
We rejoice with you today as you continue in your walk with Jesus and your study of faith. We pray that as you read the words of Scripture, you will learn of the depth of God's love for you. May God bless you always. Now in a minute, I'm going to ask the children to stand, let their parents and grandparents hug them. And then they'll make their way to their seats. And while they're doing all that, would you stand, turn to somebody you didn't come to church with. If you can remember when and you where you were when you first got your Bible, share that with somebody. If you can't remember that, you're on your own. Stand and greet the people around you, would you? Hug each other and then get back to your seats.
Would come forward, but they're already here. So, you may all be seated. And if you'll pray with me over the offering. God, sometimes we lack the words to describe you and to describe an experience, God, but today is a glorious day for these third graders and their families and for baby Owen and his family. God, we thank you for all of these experiences. We thank you for this church family that's provided so much for so many, God. We ask that you bless this offering and that you bless the giver and that they do it with a joyful heart. God, we ask that you receive it and you multiply it so that we may do your will. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Third graders, I want to talk to you about your Bible, and I want to say a little bit at the beginning before we look into various, we're going to look at seven or eight passages, and some of you are ready to read, but I want to tell you how the Bible came to be, because what you're reading there is in English, isn't it? But the Bible was originally written, the Old Testament was written in, does anybody know? Hebrew. And the New Testament was written in Greek. It's a whole two different languages. And so it had to be translated over a period of time. Now, this Bible that you have is really important to me. First of all, because it's the Bible. But partly, part of my training that I had to become a minister, after I went to college and I went to seminary, and then I went to some graduate work at a place called Princeton. And for two summers, 2 weeks for two different summers, 1982 and 1983, long before you were even thought of or born, scholars from all over the world came to Princeton to make a translation of the Bible into what is now the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. And I just want to say to you, it was a bunch of really neat people who worked very carefully and very accurately to translate from the Hebrew to the English. Now, my experience, those 2 weeks, I got to be the secretary and write down the notes. Also, my professor had some of us in his classes translate parts of Isaiah, parts of Job, and parts of some of the Psalms. And he may have used some of our translations, because what they would do, they come together and they say, here, this is what I think this word means, and people would say, yes or no, I think that's what this means. Here's what I want you to hear. I want the adults to hear. Because you'll hear every now and then that people brought other things to the translation, sort of points of view. My experience in this work with the New Revised Standard Version, everybody in every room, at least in the room I was in, was trying really hard to be faithful to what the Hebrew or Greek word said. They were working with a sacred text. They were trying to make sure that this was translated so we accurately conveyed what it was about. So this is a very reliable, this is really God's Word. It's very sacred. Now, the book, This is going to be hard for some of you to understand, but just trust me on this. The Hebrew text that for years we all worked from was in 800 A.D. That was the oldest Hebrew text we had. Then this next slide, I'm going to show you several slides today. This next slide is a place called the Dead Sea Scroll. This is the Dead Sea. It's right by the Dead Sea. These are caves. And the sacred scriptures, when this religious community called the Essenes were under attack, they put their sacred scriptures in these jars, put them in these caves, and they were there until 1947. And they date back to the time of Jesus, actually a little before, 100 B.C. And I got to look at one of the texts, the Isaiah scroll. The next slide shows inside the cave. And the next slide, you see how dry it is. The next slide is part of the Isaiah scroll, the Dead Sea Scrolls. And when I matched the one that was 800 A.D., the one that was 900 years earlier, they were almost identical. Maybe a little tiny grammar error here, but identical. Because people who translated these and copied them said, this is the Word of God. So they're very carefully transmitted throughout time. So that's what a Dead Sea Scroll looks like. The next one is, this is real quick. This is a city in Syria. Ugarit, it's no longer a city, it was excavated. Jan and I got to visit that. And we know in the Old Testament somebody called the Canaanites, but we didn't know anything about their language, their literature, because we didn't have any text until 1948. A farmer was plowing, found a potsherd, found some others, and they unearthed the city in the language of Ugaritic. And now, one of the reasons the NRSV is a more accurate translation than the King James Version, for example, is in 1611, we didn't know what those Canaanite words meant. Now we do. So we advance. Okay, the next one is, that's the Hebrew script, and I can show you more of that if you want sometime. And then the last one is a Greek text. And now, I think Miss Elizabeth is going to guide us through several texts. She's going to take the microphone to somebody who's going to read. The first one is Philippians 4:13. And Elizabeth, who's going to read? Oh, the mic is over here. Sorry. Now, if any of you brought your Bibles, I hope you'll turn to this as well, but it's up there. And third graders, this will be a practice for you to look into your Bible, and it's on page 187 in the back. There's a first part of the Bible, goes all the way, lots of numbers, then it starts over. So 187 is going to be oddly towards the back. And who is this, Elizabeth?
This is John. John Hart. You ready for him to read?
Yes. I'm ready.
Okay.
I can do all things through Him who strengthens me.
Let's hear it for John. Now, John, do you know anybody that maybe taught us about that scripture? Somebody a few years ago? I think we might have a picture of him on the screen. Do you know that guy? Is that Tim Tebow? Yeah. And you know what? I think he taught a lot of people around the world that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And if you were... What's that? Yes, sir? Oh, thank you. And if you were to sometime look at a few verses earlier than that, and for Paul says these things, whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, believe on these things. And then Paul was in prison, but still he believed, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now, the next verse is John 3:16. Can you all turn to page 88? John 3:16. I hope everybody who ever comes into Trinity will know this verse. I don't know that we have anybody scheduled to read this. I wonder if... Actually, we've arranged to have a special guest recite this for us. If you'll look up here, let's see if this person will recite it for us, if things work upstairs. You remember at the national championship game when we whipped up on Oklahoma? Afterwards, here's the, at the end of the game. He changed it to 3:16. And
it's sort of the essence of Christianity. So I thought when people say, hey, what's that verse? They look at this one, they'll see it. And hopefully, some people look at it who might not.
So go ahead and quote it verbatim.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life.
Good job. I think you did a pretty good job, don't you? Yeah. And I understand millions of people turned into that text not knowing what it was before. Here's what I want parents to hear. There's something behind Tebow's whatever it is about him. I think there are four things. Family. Strong family. Parents, today the church has given this Bible to your child, but your responsibility to lay that foundation, keep that foundation strong. Family, Christian faith was nurtured around the table, bedtime, prayers. I hope each of you parents has a life verse. I hope you grandparents have a life verse. Family, faith, service. This church will offer lots of opportunities to be in service, whether it's feeding the homeless or going on a mission trip. But I can't help but think that those mission trips to the Philippines for Tebow had a huge impact on his life and the Bible. I know, I have a sense that I've heard that he and Bubba Watson, and I hope the writer team do really well today, check in with each other. Are you in the Word? Are you in the Word? I'm just going to ask you guys. Are you in the Word? Are you in the Word daily? If you don't have some other method, get my daily scripture email. Do your kids see you studying this? Here's the truth. No matter what this gift means today, they will not read it if they don't see you reading it. Am I being too strong? It's the truth, isn't it? All those things go into this. All right, let's keep going. Now, the next one is Genesis 1:1-27. Who's reading? Oh, good.
This is Benjamin.
Benjamin Watson?
Yes. And Genesis is the first book of the Old Testament, so it should be on page 1 for all of our third graders that are looking.
Page 1, right, in the front of the Bible.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth.
Is there another part? And then verse 27.
So God created humankind in His own image. The image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them.
Let's hear it for Benjamin. Ben, thank you. Wait a minute, let me talk to him a minute. Ben, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. What do you think God looks like? That's a hard one, isn't it? You think He has long hair, He's big, and He's very strong. That's pretty good. That's really good. What He looks like shows it. Let me look at this a minute. It says, we're made in the image of God. That means, I think, one of the things it means is God looks like us. Or is a lot like us in the sense that He feels things, He has a heart, He thinks, He's a person, and He cares deeply, just like you and I care deeply. Because we're made in the image, and He wants to know us and wants us to know Him. And you're well on the way, and I thank you for that. One other thing, being an image of God means we're God's representative. We are to be like, God can't be here, so God sends us. And God sends you, Benjamin. So thanks a lot. You can go back to your parents. Thanks, Benjamin. The next one is Psalm 46:1, page 489, almost in the middle of your Bible. Did I skip Joshua? Yes, we did. I'm sorry. Joshua 1:9, page 185. Sorry about that.
That's
thank
right.
you, Elizabeth. Joshua 1:9. I'm sorry. Joshua 1:9.
This is Robert Horn, and that's on page 185 of the Old Testament.
I hereby command you to be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is wherever you go.
Good job, Robert. Great job, Robert. Now, I really wanted to include this because Joshua had a big challenge in front of him. He was responsible for helping all the children of Israel move into the promised land, go across the River Jordan, and lead them into this huge task. And I have a feeling that all of you, all throughout your lives, are going to have big challenges. And I hope this might be one of your main verses. Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened of whatever is out there or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's the truth. Related to this, right before that, there's a couple verses that God says to Joshua, hold the book in your mind. Meditate on it. That'll help you be courageous and strong. Now, who's this young lady that's going to read Psalm 46:1, page 489.
This is Allie Jones.
Oh, hi, Allie.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Thank you, Allie. Good job. Awesome. Now, I don't know if third graders have had any sad things happen yet. Have you any third? Are we too young to have sad things? I doubt it. And this verse is about when somebody's world comes crashing in. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When the earth tumbles into the sea and life seems to be falling apart, maybe your best friend has moved away. Or maybe you've had to move to a new area here. Or maybe somebody's been unkind to you. Or maybe whatever. Here's a great verse. God is your refuge, your strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Maybe grandpa or grandma or great-grandpa or grandma have died. God is your strength and help. God is there for you. Remember this verse, would you? It's a great text. I hope you always remember it. Now, this is a longer one, Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. It's page 645. But I want you to, it says something really powerful about God's Word. And who's reading this?
This is Caitlin Rowe.
Oh, good.
For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it.
Wow. Thank you. Let me just kind of go over that with you again. He's talking about God's Word and how powerful it is. It's not magical, but it's powerful. It's like the rain. He said, every word that goes out, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they've watered the earth and bring up grass and seed and grain, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. You can count on God's Word. As you meditate on it, as it becomes a part of you, it works in you. It shapes us. It makes us better than we would have been. It helps us. It's powerful. And what God says will be accomplished. So what you're being given today is an incredibly wonderful, powerful gift, just like the rain, even more so. God's Word for you. Then I think our last one is Jeremiah 29:11. It's page 687. 687. And who's this?
This is Hannah Mack.
Oh, hi, Hannah. Hi.
For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope.
Nice job. Third graders and everybody, but third graders, you see what God is saying? I know the plans I have for you. God has some amazing plans for you. And I hope some of you plan to be a fireman, a policeman, a teacher. I hope some of you will plan to be a preacher. Whatever you might be, a doctor. But God has these wonderful plans for who you're becoming and for all that will happen for your life. And throughout, as you grow up, Trinity Methodist Church is going to give you opportunities to go on ASP, go on mission trips, explore and become, play sports. God's plans for you are amazing. And He loves you so much that He wants to give you this guide for how to go into God's future for you. Oh, the plans, the places you will go. Parents, I hope you have a life verse. When my grandson up in Virginia got his Bible last week, he was so excited. Siobhan said, I think one of the reasons he was so excited is the pastor said, you could write in this Bible. I forgot to show you that slide. You can write in the Bible. He just wants to write in the Bible. And you can do that. But the parents were asked to write down their life verse. Oh, there we go. That's Charles Spurgeon. And it's a great quote, isn't it? A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Siobhan, life verses 29:11, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for ill. And you know the thing that amazes me is that was her life verse when she got married. And it's still her life verse, even though she's had this terrible thing happen to her and has compromised things. But she knows God's plan for her is for good and for her family. So as we finish up today, can I review with you? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yes, you can. Philippians 4:13. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whoever believes in Him, lives with Him, lives for Him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. You're created in the image of God. And God longs to have this deep and powerful relationship with you. Be strong and of good courage. Joshua 1:9. For I am with you wherever you go. And when the earth shatters and falls into the sea and you feel like your world's falling apart, be strong. You have a refuge and strength and present help in time of trouble. And God's Word is powerful and will not go out and be empty, but comes back full forward. And God knows the plans He has for you, for good and not for evil. Last Sunday, Brian Myers gave this wonderful sermon about raising boys, and he concluded with a challenge. Help him, help us raise our sons, our daughters. Today is a big step in that. We are all participating. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank You for every young life here, for every family. Call us all back to a recommitment to the sacred Scriptures. This Word of life. Help us to acknowledge that perhaps we've fallen away from taking the Scripture seriously and making it a vital part of our everyday life. May this third grade Bible presentation be not only the Word of God to the third graders, but a renewal of all of our commitments to read the Scriptures, make them central to who we are. This we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to, in a minute, sing our closing song, and then we'll, like we did last Sunday, after we sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit, if you'd like to receive communion around at places, you can. Jim Cook is in the back and would like to make available to you tickets for the John Michael Talbot concert on October 24th. Would you stand and let's sing our closing song.